good to see everyone with us today. Appreciate everybody taking time to be out with us this morning. We pray that the things that we'll look at this morning from God's Scriptures and some human rational thought on things that we might be doing individually can help benefit each one of us. So when we leave here, maybe there's something from God's Word we can take with us, some application of our human lives that we can kind of look at this week and say, yeah, I remember us talking about that. I remember thinking about that, and maybe it can help us out. For those that are traveling, we appreciate you taking time with us. Those that are normally with us from years ago that are traveling back out, it's good to see Kayla out here. Always makes me proud that somebody from Ohio went to Colorado intentionally. And being born in Colorado, I hold fast and true to that being my home. I appreciate my mom and dad for making sure that's where I started things out. So it's good to be with you. You also might be happy to know that this will be my last lesson before I'm out of my 40th year of life. So from here out, hopefully it'll get better. So if it's bad, you might say, boy, that guy that just was finishing his last day of being 40, it was a terrible lesson. Hopefully you won't say that. And that might be a test that you'll have to work for yourselves out today. We're going to be talking this morning about being tested by God. It's kind of great that Kayla was out here because this kind of goes back to some subjects that we talked about maybe a year or two ago in some studies that we had in our Bible classes of being tested by God. And this has been a subject I keep going back to and looking again because it is a curious thing to be tested by God. But I think some of the things that I have to present today will help us to kind of see what God does. And Abe and I are working together to try to have a two-part lesson. Me definitely being the junior speaker and one still in training. So it's always tricky to ask the senior speaker what he needs to do. Hoping I told him the right thing. I even sent him my PowerPoint last night and said, does this sound like what you're heading towards? And he said, yeah, but he doesn't know that I added another two pages onto it. So we'll see how that goes. See how my test works out. You know, I was in Walmart yesterday, and kids, I'm sorry to tell you, but the stores are packing them full with crayons and pencils and notebooks and papers. I still have memories of being a kid and seeing that stuff and going, oh, I don't believe it. I want all that fun stuff for summer to be out there. I want bikes and tires and skateboards and all that stuff. And when they bring that school stuff in, it's like, oh, man, school's getting ready to start again. And I actually liked it, and I still felt that way. So people that can't stand it, I don't know what they probably just can't even look around when they go into those stores. We talk about testing, and a lot of people say, ah, test? And you know this happens in adults, too. We've been doing tests here in our Bible studies from time to time, and somebody says test, and they're like, oh, you just see everybody tense up. And they're like, oh, how am I going to do? And Abe, the classes that we just finished up doing, he said, I'm going to go around the room, I'm going to test you guys. And we're like, oh, don't ask me that one. Why do we do that? Well, it's because we want to make sure we're prepared. The reason that we hate tests a lot of times, if we do hate tests, is because it means it's something else that we've got to practice for, something else we've got to be ready for, something else we have to add to our time and our schedule in order to be ready that we can actually get through it. And I put in parentheses, there's some people that like tests. And I know it seems like a lot of the girls, especially when I was in school, compared to the boys were just, they have a tenacity. Some boys do. I mean, most guys are just brilliant. But some boys tend to let things go to the end. I don't know if you ladies have ever run into that, but it does happen. And I can attest to that. But some girls aren't that way. They want to get ready. They want to be prepared, have it ready to go, get that out of the way, and then it's locked in their brain, and then they can go do whatever they want to. So we kind of go about things doing it from two different points of view. But some people like them. How do we define a test? I always like to throw a couple definitions up there. I did not go to the American Heritage Dictionary, so Abe will be happy about that. Not that there's anything wrong with it. But one definition of a test is to ascertain the worth, capability, or endurance of a person or thing by subjection to certain examinations. The examination thing is the part that we usually aren't so crazy for. The second definition from the World English Dictionary is to carry out an examination on a substance, material, or system by applying some chemical or physical procedure designed to indicate the presence of a substance or the possession of a property. When your teacher tests you in school, they want to see if you possess a property of knowledge, if you remember what that teacher's been working on you for. When we test other things, the same thing is true. We want to see if, as it said there, a substance or the possession of a property. Is that, when we do this test, when we make this, we put this thing under a microscope, how's it going to look? We often see testing as a negative, but testing is a key to growth. We may not like it all the time, but that is what is true for all of us in testing. As babies, we cry to get our parents' attention. Sometimes we test our parents sometimes that way. My sister-in-law's got a baby, been kind of colicky. She married a guy who's a pipeliner. If you know anybody that's ever done pipeliners, they basically move wherever the pipeline moves to. And so she's just made herself into a nomad, basically. And she lives in a camper with this baby. And she goes stir crazy a lot of times. They test one another. But as a baby, why are you crying? Why are you letting it be known that you're not happy? Well, you either need a diaper change, you're either hungry, you just want the comfort of that parent. And so you make that known, and you try to see what's going to make my parent respond to me. Have you ever seen kids kind of, and then the next thing they're bawling pretty good, and the next thing they're screaming as loud as they can, like, you're not paying attention to me. They're testing you. They're trying to say, what is it going to take to get you to look at me? Also, another thing when we're children, we wobble on 2 feet for that first step. You see, the children, they're trying to test and see, am I able to walk? How many times have you seen these little kids get up there and they're holding on to the side of the table and they're, whoa, 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 and they're just all out of balance. And they're looking and like, I can do this, I can do this. And they let go and they fall down. And they get up, they let go, they fall down. And I mean, this sometimes goes on for months. Some kids maybe go on for longer than that. But when they first take that first step and they did it, I mean, how happy are parents and grandparents? They want to be there at that moment. Oh, that's a great, great. And they pick them up and they hold them and they're like, that was pretty cool. I just took a step and they all freaked out. They want to be happy about that. But they tested their legs. And once they figured it out, it worked for them. And they take advantage of that quickly. Same thing for riding a bike. How many times do we take that bike? And some of us were fortunate to have training wheels. Some of us weren't fortunate to have training wheels. And so we tried to get that bike. It was just like when we were walking. I got two cranks and we fall over. Scraped knees, scraped legs, I mean, injured bike, whatever the case may be. School, college, postgraduate, all. In order to get through school, you got to be tested. You got to see if you're retaining the knowledge that the teachers are giving you. College is certainly a little bit more important. Are you really holding on to it? And then postgraduate, are you going to get that master's degree? Are you going to get that doctorate degree? Are you going to be able to go into a profession fully equipped? How are people going to know that you're fully equipped? When you go to the dentist office or you go to your doctor and you see that thing up there, and if you like Ohio State, it might say Ohio State Board of Medicine or pharmacological school or something like that. There's something on the wall saying, this guy was tested or this woman was tested and they passed. So you can trust them. And you know, if you see that on there, there's no doubt that your doctors are absolutely trustworthy, right? You know, most likely that they're pretty trustworthy, but we still have to test them. Same thing, our careers. We get married. I mean, dating I've talked about before, it's a testing. Is this person, am I going to like this person? How are they going to work with me? How am I going to work with them? Are we going to get along? Sometimes it doesn't last very long. Sometimes it lasts a lot longer. Sometimes it just, you're just like, I'm fed up with it. It's just ridiculous. It's not going to work out. But marriage, it goes on past that. You finally find the person you want. You marry them. There's still a level of, how does this person work with me? How am I going to be most suited for them? We compete individually and professionally. And all these things, and many more, all these tests are fraught with risk, challenges, and reward. And that's the thing about a test. It's not easy. It sometimes takes a lot of work, but the reward is moving on, going past that. Some of the things we see around us in testing. Vehicle crash testing. I mean, a guy, I like automobiles. I'm always curious about vehicle crash testing. There's even bands named Crash Test Dummies. I mean, people just seem to like that kind of stuff. Music may not be very good, but just the names are interesting. The Food and Drug Administration. Personal, I'm a diabetic. I have to test my blood regularly in order to find out where I'm at. Air and water quality testing, aircraft testing, and so many more things. None of this is cheap or easy. You know, in vehicles, they take a perfectly good car, or truck, or van, or whatever it is, and they smash it into a wall. It's like, why in the world would you do that? That was a lot of money. That was a lot of effort. That was something that was perfectly good, and you trashed it. Well, they do that to say, okay, if I put these people in this vehicle and they're injured, what's the likelihood that they're going to survive? And we know why. We talk about, and we'll get into this a little bit later, about the 5-star crash rating. How much does it take for a developer of a car or a truck or van to tweak that so you could really get hit hard and still stay alive? It's important. It's not easy and not cheap, and it takes a lot of time, but testing to be sure something is there for you. We see commercials all the time on TV from the Food and Drug Administration, sometimes giving their approval, sometimes not giving their approval to things. Well, what are we going? Are the foods that we're eating, are they going to be safe for us? Are they going to be unhealthy? Drugs. There's so many drugs out there. I mean, you probably go around just the people in this room, and we put down all the drugs that we take, and it could be a list several pages long. How are those things deemed safe? And again, talking about blood pressure, air and water quality, aircraft testing, and so many more things. It's all difficult. So have you ever been tested at work with something that you'd never done? And did you succeed? If I asked everybody in this room, okay, on the job or in school, I want you to raise your hand if you've ever been asked to do something that you'd never done before by a teacher, by a professor, or by your boss. And I said, okay, raise your hand. I bet there was probably an awful lot of hands up doing that. Because sometimes in jobs, in order to be a good employer, to be able to provide a service that nobody else has, you need to make sure that you can do something else a little bit better than somebody that you might be in competition with. You may have done the following. Did you search for answers when you were asked to do something that you'd never done before? Did you study the subject? Did you try to find out what it was going to take to do? Did you research it? Did you ask for help? Sometimes we have to do that. And did you work to accomplish the task? We have to try and try until we finally succeed. This happens all the time. For those of us that work in a computer industry, I work in computer design and advertising. I always get questions from my boss asking me to do something online that I had probably never done before. And I go through all these things. I got to find an answer. I got to figure out how to do this thing. Because the test to me is to be able to deliver for him. And the test for our company is to be able to deliver for a client. Testing is important in order to advance. Just a couple more things here and we'll get into some scripture. So, such as with school, we talked about how important it is to move from grade to grade to grade. I still remember in 8th grade there was a kid that was 18 years old when I was in Vandalia. And he, as soon as he turned 18, he was out of there. He was getting tested fine, but he was not working to try to pass it. And so he just basically became an adult in the child's world. And I know for sure that he's not gone very far since then. The rest of us that were trying to move on also use our parents as contributing forces to try to get through there. So some things that have to be pushed to their limits to pass. We talked about automobiles and what it takes to be a 5-star safety award recipient. Sure, this car was pretty good. Maybe this Hyundai is not so good, or maybe this other manufacturer is not so good. But boy, this company, man, they're just top-notch. You're not going to go wrong if you pay the money for them. Aircraft, I put that up here a second time. A friend of mine works for a company up the Wright Pat. And the company that they have is to take metals and structurally test metals and see at what point will they actually tear. And that's important for aircraft because when you're way up high in the air and you're flying a fighter and you're doing all these turns and everything, if the rigidity of that plane is not good, it's going to break and it's going to fall apart and may be shot down. So it's very important for them. Same thing for weapons. There are a lot of TV shows now, people making weapons and trying to see how well they work for soldiers. Often a failure just helps research and development work even harder to find out how to pass the test. You know, we can't just get to a test and be going through it and say, well, you didn't pass it and just give up. I mean, that's not a mark of a good person. It's not a mark of a good company. A test says, okay, I didn't get across this. Let me try again. Let me try again. Let me try again. You've got to work at it. So how should Christians react to being tested? Are we working hard to pass? Do we try again if we fail? The soldiers often tested from the first day they enlist. How can testing help them, like the following, help them? Push-ups, carrying heavy packs on long runs, climbing obstacles, taking orders and being called out, getting up early, being away from home. All these things strengthen and embolden a soldier. I've had Kim right in the forefront of my mind thinking about Bill. What does he do? You see push-ups all the time in movies and stuff. Why is a soldier having to do push-ups all the time? You didn't do what I said. Do push-ups. Give me 50. Give me 100. Why do they do that? Well, it's for one thing, it's to strengthen them and to get them used to taking orders. Why do we see these soldiers out carrying these 200-pound packs and doing these 2-mile runs? Well, if war calls for that, they have to be ready for that. We talked this morning about Egypt, and when they all left, the Israelites left the Pharaoh, and how he called his armies and said, go get these people. They had to be ready in a moment's notice to go after them. You see him climbing obstacles and taking orders. Even getting up early seems like kind of a petty thing, but if your body is not used to being able to go first thing in the morning, you're not going to survive the test. Paul mentions the testing of runners and soldiers. In 2 Timothy 2, 3-4, it says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. And why is that? That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So, soldiers are going to be enduring hardship. They endure hardship because they're being tested. And the success that they'll have as a soldier, as a fighting force, is because of that endurance. In 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 25, it says, do you not know that those who run the race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. As Christians, we need to be running to obtain that crown. We need to be running that race. And it says, it's letting us know everybody's running that race, just like in school. Everybody's in school. We're all in that same grade level. We're all in high school or whatever, college. We're in our workforce today. We're all making progress. But are we running to be in front? Are we trying to do more than everybody else is? As a congregation, as members of the Lord's church, are we all running together and one of us always trying to get in front? Not to be in front of everybody in the congregation, but to try to be the lead of what God is testing us for. We might be asked why God tests us when He knows what we'll do beforehand. As parents or teachers, have you ever asked your children, or have us teachers ever asked students, to do something knowing pretty well that they may not do what they ask them? Then why in the world would you test them with such questions? Why would you try to get them to do something? We talked about the baby. Why would a parent stand out there with a perfectly good baby that can just crawl, sit it on the floor, and keep letting go of it? It's like, what are you doing? That kid's going to fall every time. Well, not every time. It's going to learn eventually to stand. For those who pass, what do you do for them? And for those who fail, what do they get or learn? You know, if we meet the marks that are set before us, if we are tested and we succeed, we can move on. That's what we call graduation when we're talking in school. As careers, sometimes it's career advancement. You can ask a lot of people here. I know there's many of the young people here that are working in careers that they keep going back to school. And Kyle and others, and Nick, Kayla, all you guys have dealt with this, is that you keep going back to school because there's another notch of that career that you can meet if you can get that education down. Is it easy? No, but that's part of the testing. What about failing? Sometimes you don't pass. I mean, we want to pass, but sometimes we fail. And if we do fail, we just have to recognize, I didn't do something right. I need to work a little harder and try this again in order to get further. Testing is for our learning, growth, and understanding of who God is and who we are before God. In Exodus 16:4, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." You know, it would have been real easy for God to say, okay, people are hungry, they're asking for food, I'm going to give them this manna, they can have all they want, they can get fat, I don't care. He didn't do that. He said, you get this much on these days and this much for an extra day. I mean, it was pretty specific. That was their test. And if they passed the test, their food lasted for as much as they needed. When they didn't pass the test, it went bad. It was full of worms and it was just not good for eating. Says he tested them for that certain quota. And it wasn't just about seeing how well they could eat if they could get out and do it. He said here, whether they walk in my law or not. God said, I'm putting a test before them. This test may be pretty insignificant now, but I just want to see what kind of people they are. And that's what God does to us today too. While God knows what we'll do in all things, the liberty that He gives us to allow us to choose right and wrong. That's the test. I mean, God says, do this, and then He gives us liberty. We choose to do it, or we choose to fail in it. And we've got to see how we measure up past that. Testing is the way by which He confirms His chosen leaders from the rest. Think about that. We've been talking about elders. We've been thinking about elders, wives, and deacons, and just Christians in general. How are we going to be leaders of God's people? How are we going to be the people that God can most trust? He wants to test us and see if we are going to be able to meet that. As individuals, we are tested by God today. As a church, we are tested by God. We need to ask ourselves, how are we doing? How are those tests being given to us, and how am I working it out? In Genesis 12:1, Abraham was tested. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country and from your family and to your father's house to a land I will show you. His test was saying, okay, I'm God, and I want you to leave here. I just want you to go someplace else that you don't even know anything about. And a reward was declared if you would do that. In Genesis 12, 2-4, and I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. That was the test. And sometimes we do hear about rewards. A lot of times we are doing the test, we are trying to pass it because of the reward. Again, go back to school. How are you going to get to the next grade? How are you going to get through that class? How are you going to get the A, not the F? Well, because you hear that if you do these things, you'll be able to get there. Same thing in your jobs. How are you going to be able to get past this job? How are you going to get a new client? In Genesis 22:1-2, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. There's a lot of testing here. Abraham was tested by even taking his son and doing something like that to him. But he doesn't even know where he's going. God just says, well, let's start off in this direction. I'll tell you where to go. But he followed through, and the reward again was promised in Genesis 22:9-18. Also, we've been talking a lot about Egypt. Moses, Pharaoh, and the people were all tested. First of all, Moses was tested in the very proofing, validating who God was. Remember, he went and saw, I was like, why is this bush burning? I'm going to go figure out what's going on here. And he talked to God. God did some amazing things before him to let him know who he was. Moses also, in delivering God's message to Pharaoh, remember that Moses said, I'm not a very good speaker, and he kept getting all these excuses. Yeah, even the pastor says he was testing God. He made God's anger was kindled against him because he was not listening to him. And again, carrying out God's orders. We think of Moses. He always had a choice to not do something, but he was always doing that. God tested him and tested him and tested him. You think it's easy being a leader? Ask anybody that's ever been a leader over a company or over a group of people, an elder, whatever level it is, when you're trying to be a leader, there's a lot of testing that you have to go through to pass on. Also, Pharaoh was tested by God, and he resisted and stood against God. Israel witnessed the plagues and tested for the following after God. And Egypt witnessed, tested, and was impacted by the plagues. And they passed the test. Exodus 11:3 says, "And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people." You know, sometimes we can affect a lot of people if we survive tests. Egypt didn't care for the Israelites. They were just captives. They were doing things for them. But this passage here reminds us that even doing the surviving of the test, passing the test that God sets before it, will affect others. And sometimes, we talked even this morning, it could be that the mixed race that went up with them could have even been some of the Egyptians who said, this God is too great, I'm going to go with them. We didn't talk so much about that, but it's possible. Many in the Bible were tested by God. Adam and Eve, they had the liberty of choice. They could have done what God said. He said, leave alone that tree of knowledge and I'll take care of you. They used their liberty in a bad way, and they decided to choose to try to find out a little bit more about what the tree of knowledge offered them. Noah was asked to build an ark. Again, we've talked about this. Build a what? You know, they probably had boats and stuff because they certainly had rivers and streams and things like that. But from the studies that we've looked at, it's very likely that the earth did not have rain. The Bible talks pretty clearly about that. So why am I building this huge, huge thing to do something that I've never seen before? Noah was really tested, and he succeeded. Sarah, so you're going to be a 100-year-old mom. What? I can't. What are you talking about? And even she didn't react to that very well initially, but she was tested too. We've been talking a lot about Joseph. They've done some great lessons on him. Outcast from his own family, sold as a slave, lied about by the wife of the one that he was serving, even forgotten about by some. Just tested over and over and over again, always coming out on top, doing what God wanted him to. Job, how much can a man take? He was just tested like we'll probably never know another human being. And David, we've talked too about the things that he went through, and sometimes he failed. Remember I told you that testing doesn't always result in 100% accuracy. Sometimes you mess up. But the mark of a person, the character of a person, is to say, I messed up there, I got to get around this and to get better. And Daniel, too, just tested in the situation he was in, as well as the prophets. Those mentioned live like our previous passage said in 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. One receives a prize, run in such a way that you may obtain it. But we for an imperishable crown. God's servants are looking for that imperishable crown, so we need to be running in that direction. Are we running the race, being tested, expecting to win? Will we pass the test that God has in store for us? Testing can be harsh, but it can yield purity. Zechariah 13:9, I will bring one-third through fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. The process of purifying precious metals burns away the bad and leaves only the good. The hotter the better. I brought this into some lessons before, because the idea of purifying has just always been so interesting to me. The process of purifying precious souls requires fire too in order to leave the good. You know, when we think about the testing of God, we've got to remember that we have souls. Sometimes our souls are contaminated with what this world brings into it. And the testing that we go through, it may not be easy sometimes, but it's just like taking a piece of gold that's got rocks in it and whatever materials in there. You put it inside that crucible and you heat it up and it melts and all that stuff just goes away from it. Sometimes it burns up. Sometimes our souls are like that too. If we've got bad problems with them, we need to be tested pretty hard. In both cases, what is endured is certainly a great test. Other passages about why God tests us. Deuteronomy 8:2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Why did He do that? To humble you and test you. To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. Very similar to what we talked about already. 1 Chronicles 29:17. I know also, my God, that you test the heart. You have pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. Psalms 11:4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the son of men. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the hearts. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. What are you doing? What are you being tested with, and how are you getting through it? So we have an obligation to test one another as well. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. You know, this is a pretty important point. We're supposed to look at ourselves and say, how am I doing? Am I doing what God says? And if not, what am I doing about it? That's one thing. But there's another thing in this passage too, when this book's written to the Corinthians. It says, test yourselves. It says, test yourself would be just me. But when it says yourselves, there's also an element of the church as a whole testing one another. The conversations that we get in, the things that we talk about, the difficulties that we sometimes face, and sometimes the perceptions that we have of what being a Christian is. We need to question one another about that. We need to talk about that and work through those things. 2 Corinthians 2:9 says, for to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. So again, Paul's saying, I'm going to put you on the test here too. I'm an apostle of Christ. I've got the gift of the Spirit. I'm going to put you on the test here. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Thessalonians are told to test all things and hold fast to what is good. Again, the idea of testing, seeing how things are going to be going. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Revelation 3:10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So in summary, we'll be tested by God. How we do is up to us. We must be doing the following in order to be ready. Study, study, study. You could probably just do a whole page of writing that on there. It is difficult. It is sometimes laborsome, but it is the most important thing for us to understand what God's will is for us. Talk to God often, just like a teacher. Know your subjects. Have you ever had a subject that you just could not figure out? You were asked to do something by your teacher that just didn't make any sense to you, and you raised your hand and said, can you explain this to me? I don't know what you're asking. We have an avenue with God to do that same thing. We can go to Him in prayer and say, Lord, I am having a tough time with this. Help me. Help me find the answer that I'm looking for. And then go to others to help find that answer too. Understanding our boundaries and our limits. Know where your weaknesses are and don't go close to them. We've seen that from examples of the Bible. It tells us to know where we stand and don't get too close to where sin is. Same thing with the truth about the path. Staying on the path, don't get too close to the rocky edge. We need to understand where our boundaries and limits are. We need to be aware of risky situations and people and avoid them. There's some people that we know that if we get around them, I'm just not going to be the same person. I need to be careful about that. And we need to exercise our mind, body, and spirit. And again, being goal-oriented. What are you wanting to do? What part of your Christianity do you want to improve? What type of part of your life is bad? And how can you fix it? Make a plan there. If you miss part of the test, retake it to pass. That's a very important thing. Don't just give up. Say, I'm never going to get that. I'll just forget it. Just keep trying. And in conclusion, each of us is being tested by God to see what type of person and or what type of Christian we really are. So how are you doing with the test that He's giving you? Are you passing? Are you failing? Are you ready to move to the next level? Or are you stuck where you are? Growth and moving forward is living. Lack of growth is not much different than death. In this passage, Galatians 6, 8 through 10 will end with, "For he who sows to his flesh will reap of his flesh corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Thank you for your time this morning. I pray that some of the things that we just brought up can be something that can be useful for this week and weeks to come. We will be tested. I can guarantee every person that, whether you enjoyed the lesson, whether you didn't enjoy the lesson, whether you don't, you've got a lot of other things on your mind. We will be tested. I can assure you of that. I'll be tested. I can promise that's going to happen. Probably even today for a lot of us. How are we going to get through it? Are we thinking about some of the things we talked about? That God is always testing us. He's going to make sure that we are as good as we can be. And how are we going to try to achieve that in our lives? So as you take your songbooks out, we'll be singing the song of invitation. If the test has just been too much for you lately, and you've not been quite able to get to where you want to, and you feel like you failed too often, let that be known, and we can pray to God about that, and we can work it out. If you've never known God, the test is also just like as every one of us that is a Christian. It's not easy walking up in front of people and saying, "I'm ready for Christ to be in my life." But think of the benefits. It is just such a great thing. So I encourage everyone to stand and sing the song that has been selected, and we'll do that at this time.